Today's gospel reminded me of a hike that Donna and myself and our son and his wife took to Colorado. Our son planned a walk for us, about a 2-mile hike, up to Isabel Lake, which is near Estes Park. The trail provided beautiful sights of wildflowers, mountain brooks, pine and aspen groves, the majestic Rockies off in the distance. We could almost call that a spiritual experience, seeing the artistry of God, the nature, the beauty, the breeze whispering through the trees, and so on. When we got to the park entrance, however, still 2 miles away from the parking lot that we were going to park in, we noticed the entrance was closed. So we decided to walk in. That's another 2 miles. What's 2 miles? Well, that made an 8-mile round trip hike in the serene, majestic mountains. But needless to say, we were physically exhausted, hungry, and thirsty when we got to the car. I think we all felt sort of like those 5,000 in today's gospel. As I studied the readings today, what stayed with me was the practical reality of how the body and blood of Christ is related to caring for others. The gospel opened by describing Jesus' ministry. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. By his words and deeds, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, God's active, abundant love breaking out into the world. From Jesus, they learned that the kingdom happens whenever people love one another, when they respond to each other's needs, or when they care for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the disabled, the mentally challenged, the marginalized, and so on and so forth. Jesus taught and healed. The crowds were drawn by Jesus' reputation, and in today's gospel, they even ventured out to a deserted place to hear him and to be healed in various ways. Toward evening, the disciples tried to dismiss the crowd because there was not sufficient food. But Jesus knew it was not enough to only provide for people spirituality. They needed physical nourishment. So Jesus looked to the heaven, took a small amount of bread and fish and blessed it, and miraculously fed the large crowd. That is what Jesus modeled for us. The teaching is really important because the story of the feeding of the crowds was told in all four Gospels 6 different times. As Luke does throughout his gospel, Jesus performs a miracle out of his deep sense of compassion for the suffering and the needy. Jesus teaches the 12 and us to feed the hungers of others. Another important point in the scriptures today comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the verses, however, immediately preceding those that we heard in the reading today, Paul had denounced who he probably may have called so-called Christians in the community of Corinth. When they came to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the wealthy, those who didn't have to work from sunrise to sunset, would arrive for the Eucharistic meal early, way ahead of the laborers, and began to enjoy the best of the banquet, often only leaving leftovers for their poor sisters and brothers. Paul criticized the community gathering to receive the body and blood of Christ, but failing to be the body of Christ. Paul, in one of the oldest records of the Last Supper and of what the key elements in the celebration of the Eucharist would be for Christian communities then and now, reminds them and us, at that meal, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul's admonition to the Corinthians was that to remember Jesus is not merely to think of him, but to live as he did, to give ourselves for others. In the first reading from Melchizedek, it featured this high priest. He was also king of Salem, a name that was connected to Shalom. Shalom, meaning he was the king of peace. Shalom is also known as the future city of Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God the Most High for Israel. Melchizedek offered bread and wine to God in thanksgiving for God's help in the victories achieved by Abraham. This bread and wine is a foreshadowing of the Eucharistic feast offered at every Mass throughout the world, the bread and wine offered by Jesus, the King of Peace, at the Passover meal in Jerusalem. We aren't Catholic Christians because we go to Mass, but we go to Mass because we are Catholic Christians, to celebrate God's unbounded love for us and to participate in that action that the followers of Christ have engaged in ever since the Lord walked on this planet. We come to Mass with our struggles, with our doubts, with our pain, and with our sorrows, to be fed and nourished, while at the same time, in our sharing of the body of Christ, we are called to become the body of Christ for one another, to make the limitless, complete love of Christ real for all in our acts of charity and kindness. The Eucharist reminds us that Christ is alive today, alive and at work among us, yes, in the Eucharist, but also in countless subtle ways that go unnoticed. As we reflect more on Christ's presence among us, we may start to notice how active Christ is in our lives and in the lives of others. The Mass never ends. We might say that at the conclusion of every Mass, we are sent forth to announce the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth, through our words and especially by our deeds. We become the tabernacles of the Lord by receiving his body and blood, and thus we are commissioned with a special task, and that task is to be bearers of Christ in our families, in our community, and in our world.